Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, welcome to you on this Wednesday. So great to have you with us here at Derek Prince Legacy Radio. If you've been with us for the last week or two, you know that we've been talking about the enemies we face. And this week, Derek is specifically addressing the spirit of Antichrist. Now, today, he's going to do something that is very timely for us, even though, of course, this was recorded years and years ago, still timely, because he's going to talk about the spirit of Antichrist in the religion of Islam. Let's listen.
There was a spiritual force at work that swept through that crowd and changed them, and they became almost insane with anger, jealousy, and rage without any cause whatever. And I personally believe that's when the spirit of Antichrist first impacted humanity. And it has, in a sense, sought to dominate the Jewish people from then until now. Now, Jesus warned them. If you turn to John chapter 5, John 5 and verse 43, they were at this point disputing his claim to be the Messiah and the Son of God. And Jesus said, "I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive." Now that has been proved abundantly true. In other words, I am the true Messiah, but you won't receive me. If a false Messiah will come in his name, you will receive him. And the Jewish Encyclopedia records approximately 40 false messiahs who have come since then and been received by Jewish people. To name just one or two or three of them, the most famous probably is Bar Kokhba, who led a revolt against Rome in the year 138 AD, I believe. Then there was Moses of Crete, I think about the 5th century, who persuaded people that they should wade out into the sea from Crete and they'd meet the Messiah, and thousands of them waded out into the sea and were drowned. And then in the year 1666, which was supposed to be the miraculous year, Sabbatai Zvi claimed to be the Messiah and was enthusiastically received by multitudes. One of the false teachings of Judaism, it's not taught by all of Judaism, but it is a teaching in Judaism, is that the one who gives us back our temple is the Messiah. You know, I'm sure, that the temple area, the sacred site of all Jewish people, is still occupied by a Muslim mosque. And the Jews are not even permitted to go there, although they actually control politically the whole area. And I personally believe that if a political personality would arise that could somehow intervene in the Middle East and obtain for the Jewish people the right to build their temple there, they would enthusiastically hail him as Messiah. And he would appeal to the whole community of Jewish people worldwide. And I would suggest that that might not be very far away. All right, now let's look at another main manifestation of the spirit of Antichrist. And this is one it's extremely important for us as Christians to be well informed about at this time. That is Islam, which is the name for the religion of Muhammad. Islam means perfection, completeness, fulfillment. Muhammad arose in the 7th century of this era in the Arabian Peninsula, claimed to be a prophet, claimed to receive in a cave from an archangel the revelation of the religion, which then became Islam. And he claimed that his religion, Islam, was the true fulfillment of the Old and the New Testament. He claimed that the Christians in the Gospels had perverted the real truth, but he, through Islam, was restoring it. That's the basic claim of Muhammad. And he first believed that because he rejected idolatry and because he rejected the claims of Christianity, the Jewish people would follow him. But he was disappointed. And when they didn't follow him, he turned against them and became a persecutor of them. Now, let's consider the teachings of Islam. Personally, this is my own opinion. At the present moment, I think Islam is the most sinister, powerful force opposing the truth of God at work in the world. It's a tragedy that so many Christians in the West have totally misunderstood and underestimated Islam. If it once gains power, it will first and foremost suppress the Jews, and second, suppress the Christians.
More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
The signs seem to be all around us. Could humanity soon face the end of time? In his book, Surviving the Last Days, Derek Prince explains the essential way to approaching the future and the role Jesus himself plays at the end of the age. These truths are so important, we want to send you a copy of Surviving the Last Days, absolutely free and postage paid. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, 888-737-0771. As you read Surviving the Last Days, you'll discover how to face the future without fear. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, 888-737-0771. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
In Muslim countries throughout the centuries, Christians and Jews have been given the title Dhimmi, which means second-class people. It rather suits Islam to have some of them around, but to keep them in such a low and debased condition that the superiority of Islam is manifest to everybody. Ruth and I were in Pakistan in 1985 preaching the gospel there. One of the first things that happened was we were taken to visit the Christian community in Karachi. And I still remember the awful sense of physical sickness when I saw the squalor, the poverty, the debased condition. They had open sewers running in the streets. They just went to the toilet out in the open. And this was the picture of Christianity presented to the people of Pakistan. It suited them, you understand? They didn't want to eliminate them totally. They just wanted to demonstrate the total superiority of Muslims over Christians. For instance, Muslims will never clean latrines. So all cleaners of latrines in Pakistan are Christians. That's basically the Pakistani vision of Christianity. See? And this is just one of countless examples of how the Jews and the Christians have been a totally suppressed, inferior minority in Islamic countries. The oath of a Christian is not accepted in Islamic courts. The evidence of a Christian against a Muslim is not accepted. It's true that Islam has a long record of 13 centuries of suppression and contempt for Christianity. It's hard for you who are not familiar to realize with what total contempt they view Christians. You see, the things that we, through Christian inheritance and tradition, regard as excellent, like mercy and forgiveness, to Muslims, they're just weakness. You see, at the present time, the situation in the Middle East, Western politicians, even if they're not Christians, have got a Christian viewpoint. They have a background. They talk about mercy, peace, forgiveness. To the Muslims, that's nonsense. In the Muslim thinking, revenge is a sacred duty. I just want to bring out the totally different spirit that there is, because it's not always obvious. Now, as I pointed out, Islam again has the marks, most of them. It started in association with the Old and the New Testament. It claimed to be the outworking of that revelation of God. But it denies certain basic fundamentals of the Christian faith. It denies the atoning death of Jesus on the cross. Muhammad taught that Jesus didn't die. An angel came and spirited him away from the cross before he died. Because there is no death, there is no atonement, and because there is no atonement, there is no forgiveness. And no Muslim has the assurance of sins forgiven at any time. Second, and this they deny with fanatical intensity, that Jesus is the Son of God. You can talk to the Muslims about Jesus as a prophet, and they'll give you careful attention. In fact, the Quran acknowledges Jesus as a prophet. But when you, even as a savior, even as a messiah, but when you say he's the Son of God, you bring out the most intense, bitter opposition. In the famous mosque on the, that's called the Dome of the Rock, that's built on the side of the, what was the Temple of Solomon at one time, in the Arabic inscriptions around it, twice it says, God has no need of a son. Until you've encountered this, you have no idea the intensity of the opposition to this. And then, as I've said, it denies the father-son relationship within the Godhead.
You know, we have to distinguish between the people whom Jesus loves and whom he died for, and the systems they might be embroiled in. Jesus loves every Muslim walking the face of the earth, died for them, wants to set them free. At the same time, the religion of Islam teaches things that are false about him and unbiblical. Hey, we want to connect with you. We want you to connect with us. Go on our Facebook page, facebook.com/DPM Legacy. That's facebook.com/DPM Legacy. And you can find out what we're doing, and we can help you even more. Hey, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
For more information about anything heard on today's program, give us a call at 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Visit us securely online at derekprince.org.